Welcome to the Nutritious and Delicious Show with me, Bethany. Our mission is to support busy parents all over the world to learn time management while taking care of your nutritional, physical, and mental health. After all, we believe a healthy family starts with a healthy parent. So I'm super excited today. I have Eric with me, and we don't actually have a lot of dads on the show, so I am super pumped to have you here. So Eric Jones Jr. is the underdog with a heroic heart. He says, you can measure my arms, but you can't measure my heart. So welcome, Eric.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, so I'm excited today, like I said, because we don't actually have a lot of guys on the show, and this is probably one of the first times we actually have a male. And most of our viewers are usually women, but they also like to kind of hear from the guy's perspective, like being the dad, being the guy. But we do have some dads on here as well, and it would be great for them to kind of hear sort of your side of the story and your adversity. So our topic today is called Breaking Adversity by Betting on Yourself. So Eric has an amazing story here, very inspiring, and actually wanted to ask Eric to share his journey basically with us and what became what he does now is like motivational speaking. So Eric, I would love to hear kind of how this all started for you.
All right. So I was born with, it's a rare disease. It's called club hands. It's something more like a difficult term. I can't remember the other word, but club hands is where it's four different stages. So you see people with maybe one short arm, maybe two, maybe they don't have a hand or whatever. So I don't have the main bone, the radius bone in my arm. So When I was born, it was a shock to everybody. I was born in the 80s. It wasn't like the ultrasounds. They didn't know what was coming out. Right. So it took the doctors 24 hours to even to go back and research, to be able to tell my parents, this is what this is called. This is the pros and cons. And so, excuse me. I don't know if you ever heard of Shriners Hospital.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So just so happened a lady from Shriners was in the hospital that week I was born. Signed my mom up, and I had my first surgery when I was 6 months old. Whew. So have you ever, when you go to the doctor, they have to put the IV in your arm. Yeah. Well, I don't have veins. So they cut my left leg open, and they tried to get a vein, couldn't. So they had to put the IV in my manhood. Oh, so All this is happening. My mom, she said after my surgery, I was cool. Like every surgery I've had, she's like, I was cool. So my dad didn't really dig me per se, because he's like, oh, it's your fault. To my mom, his son is disabled, born a disabled kid. So he really didn't rock with me too well. Yeah. But he ended up passing away when I was 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he had cancer. So He passed away. My mom, she never treated me like a disabled kid. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't do anything. I always remember her saying, try. If you try and then you can't do it, then somebody will help you. So growing up, I was bullied in school and stuff like that. But the one thing that got me through life and got me to where I'm at now is really basketball. Because I love basketball, but I didn't want to always be a cheerleader and cheer for the NBA players or cheer for my friends. I wanted to get on the court. So I taught myself how to play. My mom didn't play. My stepdad, he thought he could play, but he couldn't really play. But So I just taught myself. I went every single day. I was dribbling. I was shooting. I was watching basketball. I was just doing all the things just so I could be able to play on a basketball court. It wasn't even to be on a team. It was just so people besides my friends would pick me to play basketball. Right. So it was a consistent everyday thing that I did to get better, because I always wanted to get on the court. I'm a trash talker.
Yeah.
I always want to back it up. I don't want to get on the court. Oh, I can do this. So I translated how I was on the basketball court to real life. Awesome. When I walk on the, oh, go ahead.
No, that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah. So when people start joking on me, I stand up to the bully. I'm not scared of you because I play guys that's bigger than me on a basketball court. So I kind of understood we're all the same. We just look different. So at that point, it was I'm not scared of nothing. I'm not scared of having these surgeries. I'm not scared of no human being, nobody in front of me. And that kind of gave me the confidence to walk with confidence. Because sometimes we have confidence a little bit. We have it maybe at our job or maybe somewhere else. But everywhere I went, I had the confidence of I'm that dude because mm-hmm. of basketball. And people started to respect me. I got friends and all that. But I never took school serious. Like, right. you know how you're supposed to, you want to play on a team, but you're supposed to get good grades. And that wasn't me.
So, this is always something.
Yeah. So throughout that, like, life kind of got hard because my granddad passed away, and he was like my best friend. And I remember my mom, I was like regular school, night school, like I was horrible. And she came to me, she was crying. She's like, can you just graduate? And I was like, all right. I was like, all right, I can do that. But I graduated with a 1.7 GPA. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. Went to college, a small school, dropped out, went to college again, dropped out again. And it was like, okay, when you're you have a disability, you're supposed to get a Social Security check, right? No. Oh, you're able to go to work. No, we're not going to give you the check that you're supposed to get because you're born with this disability. You can go to work. Yeah, I can go to work, like fast food and working and not making no money. That's not going to help me out in life. So people that knew me always gave me an opportunity because they knew I was a hard worker. They knew I might not have the physical ability, but I have the heart ability. I have the effort. I'm going to show up every day. If I don't know something, I'm coachable. You can, you know, so that's how I mainly got a job, is by knowing people. And I remember when I was like 25, I moved from my cousins, moved to Indianapolis, really, because they lived outside of Indianapolis. And I started dating my son's mom. And I ended up getting a good job. And then my son was born. And I kind of was just going through life, just like, okay, go to work, whatever. And when he was born and I seen him, it's like, okay, it's time to get your stuff together. Yeah. Like, you really got to tighten up because this little person depends on you. And I joined the community from Eric Thomas, like his community that he has, Breve University. And somebody heard my story and they're like, oh, you should go speak. Speak? I don't, what is that? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about, but like, share your story. So, you know, I got the information of how to reach out to people. And this was in August. And by November, I had my first speaking opportunity.
Wow.
And after that, somebody was like, hey, your story inspired me. I'm like, okay, let me see what this speaking thing is. And since 2016, I've been speaking. It helped me to be a coach, basketball coach, not like a life coach, basketball mm-hmm. coach. A mentor, have my own mentor program, a co-author, a speaker, and then now I work in the schools and just being able to motivate and inspire kids in the school every day is kind of like where it's at. But me going through life, like basketball, kind of saved me, because I used to go to Shriners and I would see kids that look like me or worse off, and they were helpless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could have been that kid, but I never knew what it was like to like just give up,
right?
Just like, or to depend on somebody else to do something for me. So it was like I had to go get it regardless of what it was. And then having a son, it's like I really can't care how I look, how people talk about me, because this person that's my blood that I created depends on me. So I have to get better every single day. So that's kind of like my story in a short summary of it. But it started off rocky. And I just kept going. I just never gave up, because if I gave up, other people around me would give up. And
right.
even though I'm not a tall man, a big man, I'm 5'7", 140, I'm still a man, and people like depend on me. They depend yeah. on, they look at me, and if I can do it, they can do it. So that's kind of where the Eric Jones Jr. story, like, it ties in.
It's an amazing, inspirational story. Like, even I think I just heard right off the bat, like, your mom kind of was that grounding for you, I think. And just, she never gave you that excuse to say like, you can't do it. She's like, try, you know. And I think we do that with our kids anyways, in general. And I'm sure you probably are like that with your son. Don't give up, you know, like, at least try. Like, you see them get upset with things, like frustrated. And you're like, look, I just wanted you to try it first yourself and then ask for help. Like, I'm not going to not help you. But again, if you sort of like let them sort of be too dependent, then it's we're raising a lot of, like, you know, dependent kids, I guess. But you kind of want to make sure that your kid has that, like, as a go, like the starting point, right? And it seems like after that, like, basketball and everything like that was something that you really fit into and you felt like yourself from what it sounds like. This academic side of it, though, it seems like you probably didn't resonate as much, and there's probably a lot of your heart probably wasn't in it. But basketball, it seems like that's where you grew as a person, like your skills, your confidence, like everything. And it's obviously come into full effect now, you being like a basketball coach and being able to teach other people. So that must be great for you to be on the other side and feel that and be able to be like a mentor to like younger kids as well. Because you also mentioned about like talking to, is it high school kids that you talk to? Or
yeah, it's high school kids and college kids too sometimes.
And what are some of your messages like to them when you go into the school and like you talk to them about stuff?
It kind of just depends on what the person that brings me in like tells me, or when I come in and I read the room.
Right.
Like you listen to kids, maybe talk to them before I get to speaking. And a lot of times it's really helping them to understand education is important. Mm-hmm. And it's weird for me, to the guy that graduated with a GPA of 1.7, to tell them, but I understand as an adult, you have to have knowledge in everything that you do.
Yeah.
So it's at right now, you have to get through school. This is the first level that you got to get through of like education and knowledge, and you have to learn certain things so you can get to that next level. And then, you know, kids, they have, a lot of kids have adversity that maybe we didn't even have as kids. Like I would go to the detention center and kid was like, his mom was on crack. I'm like, I never had a friend. I never knew anybody like that. And I'm like, what am I supposed to tell them? But it's like, you have to not look at your environment and get your way out of it. Cause sometimes we can't help who we were born to, where we are living as a kid. But it's like, if you think that, if you understand that you're worth more than that circumstance, then you can get out of it. It might not happen right away, but it eventually happens. So that's kind of what I tell them, like, it don't matter the adversity. It don't matter what you're going through. You can get out of it if you put your mind to it and your heart to it. Sometimes people is like, oh, I'm not smart enough. Oh, I don't got the talent, but you got the heart.
Right.
And heart will get you further than talent will. Heart will get you further than a lot of things, because you're not going to give up. You're going to figure out how to win. And that's right. Kind of what, you know, I tell the kids, and just different conversations on different stuff. Like, it's different talking to student athletes than it is talking to just regular students. So it depends on the room, but most of the time it's really to bet on yourself and never give up.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think what I heard out of that conversation right off the bat was that you're basically helping them with their self-worth, no matter what situation they're in, that you're telling them they can do it. And that, like you said about, you know, you being worth more love than what's being given maybe in your own life, like it is harder on kids obviously because they don't have the finances and the means maybe to leave a situation. But like you just said, you know, if you've got heart, there's going to be somebody in their life that we would hope that with their good heart they could take them in, you know. So that's amazing that you can be such an inspiration, and I think such powerful words are going towards those kids. Now the opposite is adults. So what have you kind of seen over the years is like main problems with, I would say, like adults' motivation in life, even comparing them to sort of the kids that you're dealing with?
I think with adults, it's kind of like me. I look at, like, because we have to understand as people, you're not the only person dealing with whatever you're dealing with. There's other people in the world. So a lot of my videos that I put out on social media is, I think, is aimed towards adults, but kids can get it too. And it's really just maybe you're stuck at a job, but you want to do something else.
Right.
Or you got a divorce. I've been divorced. Or just different things that happen in life. I try to look at what I've been through or people around me go through. And it's like it starts with your mind, because a lot of times you might have the wrong friends. You might be around the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And if your mind stays there and you allow them to feed you that, then you're going to be that. But if you get around people that's where you want to be or going where you want to be, then you'll start moving the needle. You'll start seeing, I can do that. This person done that. Or, oh, I don't got to go down this street. I can go straight and then turn left. And now mm-hmm. I'm where I need to be. So it's about getting around other people and then unlearning what you learn to learn new things. Because I think a lot of times because I'm not from like the streets, but I grew around people, so I know like street code and all that. And it's like, you got to unlearn that. You got to unlearn what you thought your community was doing. You got to unlearn all this stuff, and then like get it. Like, it's really, you get around people or get a mentor. That's one thing that that helped me, like, once I started speaking, is getting a mentor or getting a coach, because everybody has a coach. Right. Michael Jordan had a coach, Denzel Washington, Steph Curry, like all the people that are great to have coaches, because you need somebody to keep you accountable and somebody to put their foot on your neck, because sometimes you don't even have self-accountability. So it's really just talking about the things that I've went through and how I've went from point A to point B to point C, and mix it in with conversations that I hear people at work talk about or see on social media or see. It's like, I take what people say and then just turn it in. And I'm a person, I'm very transparent. So anything I do, I tell a story.
Right.
And I tell people, look, I've went through this, or I went through that. You can get through it. And that's kind of the aim that I go for adults. It's a little different with kids, because I can be a little more raw with adults, because adults should be able to handle somebody putting a foot on their neck.
Right. Exactly. It's what I heard with that was, it sounds like a lot of people that are kind of listening in and stuff are, it's a place of they're feeling disempowered, and you're empowering them with kind of what you're going through, and also birds of a feather flock together. So the people you surround yourself with, and that goes straight into, I think, the five tips that we're thinking of in terms of like helping out people. So the first one is, I know you said to me, stay still. So go into that and tell me what you think by staying still means.
So with staying still, with COVID, I got divorced like right before COVID happened.
Jeez.
So lost everything. I had an apartment, wasn't good with money, managing, got evicted. Didn't really have a place to stay. I'm staying with friends. I even moved back in for a portion of time with my ex as we're going through the divorce. Worst.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. And it was at that point, was like, I was going back into that mental meltdown that I was in the marriage. It's like, I got to get out of here. So when I did, COVID happened. And I'm like, okay, I don't really got a place to stay, but we're quarantined. Hey, mom.
Yeah.
Can I come home? So I didn't know what was going to happen with COVID. So I'm sitting there, I'm saving money. But this is where, I don't know everybody's religion, how they work, but I start praying. I start reading the Bible. I start reading books. I start journaling. I started loving myself and being in my own company, because sometimes people, they have to have other people around them. They don't know how to stay still, be at home. I can stay at home a whole weekend and they'd be like, how was your weekend? It was great, because I'm entertaining to myself.
Yeah.
I can have fun with myself, but I also can grow. I also can gain knowledge. I also know how to get better. And it's really kind of like, I was watching YouTube stuff and, you know, trying to educate myself, but I start doing it. I start working out at home. I started bettering myself because I was by myself. It's times in life that you're going to be by yourself.
Yeah. And that's a good place to be, I think, sometimes.
It is. That's where you take advantage of it. You take advantage of what you haven't been doing. So I'm like, okay, we're not working. I started a t-shirt company. And I was like, okay, what am I going to call it? I did it for my son, because I'm sitting there, I'm thinking of all things. My dad died when I was three. He left me nothing but questions. Yeah. So I did that. And then I'm learning all that. And then the speaking started coming back. And then the mentoring, then the basketball coaching, because I bettered myself. Because I went through a divorce. If anybody went through a divorce or been a breakup, you know how that can break you down. Especially if maybe you thought you did wrong, or, you know, the other person told people this, and people looking at you like that, it could tear you up. And then not having your own place to live, it's like, I could have went left.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm going to be a better Eric. I'm going to love on myself. So when I do get in another relationship, I know all the things that I want to ask, all the things I'm not going to put up with, and how to be a better person. So when you stay still, that's when you're bettering yourself. That's when you're studying. That's when you're having conversation. I don't know how everybody works, but I have conversations with myself. I talk to myself.
I talk to myself.
I have good conversations. Yeah. But it's more so when you're by yourself and you maybe listen to meditation or you journal, those things that you need to hear, or the things that you, the ideas, they pop up in your head. And now you're like, okay, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm going to keep going. And that kind of pushes you to be better when you step out in public, when you're better by yourself. So that's kind of what stay still means.
I love that, because so many people avoid that, Eric. Like, people will numb themselves out and avoid like listening to those negative thoughts. Like you said, you know, you just had a divorce and you could go down such a giant hill, but if anything, it's up leveling your skills as a speaker and everything, because you're learning about yourself. You're staying still with those emotions and figuring it out for yourself. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. It's not where anybody wants to be, because they're thoughts that you don't want. But like I said, the majority of people will typically try and numb those things out with various things out there, you know? So good for you for staying still. What do you think with number two being do what you love?
That's like the staying still part is do what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not going to like what you love to do. Or you can go to a job, you don't love it. You just going there because of the money. Then you start complaining, oh, I hate this job and this and that. We're in the times where you can go out and do whatever it is you love to do.
Times have changed.
And you can make money off of it. You don't got to have a degree. You don't got to go to anybody's job. You can create it. So what I love to do is basketball. But it was like, my body, I ain't going to nobody's league or anything. I can coach. I can help kids that have that talent have heart. Because a lot of kids don't have heart. They get on the court, oh, I just got this. But when times get hard, your team down, you tired, you give up. So it was just doing the stuff that I love to do. Like, it was like, I don't like going to the club no more. Stop calling me and asking me to go out. Like, right. I'm doing whatever Eric loves to do. And I don't care how anybody else feels. And it was like putting boundaries on things. Like, I don't want to talk on the phone to you just because to talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to just hang out just to hang out. Like, I'm at a point where if it's not helping me, I really don't want to be around it. And you can like it or you don't like it, but I'm doing what I love to do because I want to be a better person, because my son and his sister depend on me. And my mom depends on me, my sister. Like, I didn't realize that people depended on me so much because of my situation, but they do. Mm-hmm. Like, if I give up, they might give up. So it's like, do what you love to do, because what I love to do is inspire people and help people. And that's just not like the kids in my classroom. It's the kids in all the schools, kids all over the world. Like, when I come up to a kid and we having a conversation, I'm trying to figure out in that whatever moment, how can I help them?
Right.
And that's what I love to do.
You're trying to make a difference and an inspiration in other people's lives. And it sounds like to me, you've started to look at the relationships in your life. We'll get into this as well, because that's another point you want to talk about. But you've obviously realized like boundaries of, are you just talking to talk? Like, is there anything sort of like getting out of this anymore? So that's great. What about number three, which is getting help?
Getting help is kind of like what I said earlier, getting a mentor or getting a life coach, but really getting a counselor. Like a lot of people,
or something.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. going to counseling. Like, a lot of people don't realize how good that is, because we'll go to our friends. Oh yeah, girl. Yep. I feel you. He knew you dirty. Oh yeah, bro. I feel you. But then you go to a counselor. They like, okay, you know, you were wrong at this and that and how you could do this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this triggers you, right? That, you know, the last three, you've been in three relationships in the last couple months.
You're the common denominator.
Yeah. And people don't want to go talk to somebody and they feel some kind, like I was like that, but I was like, let me try this out. And it helped. It helped me to learn to love me. The reason why our marriage failed, because we didn't love ourselves. It didn't have nothing to do with each other. If you don't love you, you can't expect somebody else to love you, or you think they're going to come in and save the day. So you got to get help, as in getting counseling, not talking to your friends that's going to agree with you. Talk to people that's going to tell you you're wrong and have accountability. Get an accountability partner. And you got to have accountability partner in different areas, like health, money, business, all those different things. So you got to have help in different areas, but you got to understand what areas in your life you need help in. And that's where the standing still helps, because you write those things down of what's not working. Now you can like, okay, when I go to the counselor, I can talk about these things because I need some help in these. I don't know where to go. Or like for me, I ended up going through that time of the divorce. I was going to a church, right? And they had a budget workshop. I went. I'm like, I'm not good with money. You know, I've been in a little situation. And from that, I gained a friend and I gained a financial coach.
There you
because
go.
I was willing to get help. And he didn't look like me. An older white guy, like, is not somebody that I'm not saying that is not somebody that I would think that I would be friends with because we're from two different cultures. He's older. Mm-hmm. I'm younger. And we're different in culture. But we knocked it off. He's like, I'm not going to judge you off of who you are. I can be myself with him. And he helps me with a budget. He helped me, you know, get different things done because I wanted to get help. You got to want to get help. You can't go and be like, oh, I'm going to go to the counselor because they said to, oh, yeah, you just sit there and nothing goes out of it. You have to want the help. So when you want the help will come.
Exactly. When you, I heard you talk about the relationship stuff, that's huge because obviously there's lots of people on this podcast that are married or been divorced or single, myself widowed, and then back into new relationships again. You really have to work on bringing your best self into any kind of relationship or friendship because you got to remember you're going to attract like you, the same like in return, right? So if you're not trying, they're not going to try, and you've got like a really bad situation going on, right? And yep. I know a lot of people say like, oh, it's 50-50. It's not. It's 100-100. You got to both put your full effort in. And it's a lot of work. It's not easy. But I think, like you said, like you need somebody that doesn't agree with you all the time. Because if you got someone who's agreeing with you all the time, you're like, yeah, that's it. Like, I'm right. Like in every fight situation in your marriage or, you know, with a friend or a new partner, right? You got to be able to see somebody kind of put that mirror in front of you and you're like, oh, that's not good. Like I'm repeating these same issues. But like you said, a counselor, someone like that, psychologist, whoever you can talk to. And they've even got things online now. So people have no excuse, you know, and they're cheaper and stuff as well because they're all online. So that's a great one. Number four, I love this one because like, we've already touched on this, but surround yourself with winners.
Yeah. So... like I said, when I started speaking, Eric Thomas, if you guys, if the listeners don't know, he's one of the, probably the number one motivational speaker. And there was a video on Facebook. He yelling at me. Like, why are you, this dude yelling at me? So I got in, I never knew what an online community was, entrepreneurs, you know, I seen them and stuff like that, but never been around them. Mm-hmm. And he so happened to have a conference here in Indianapolis, like, maybe a month after I signed up. So I met them, but then they had like a meetup here and I met a whole bunch of different people and they're kind of just starting and just seeing where some of them are. They're further along than I am, but being around those winners is like, okay, I need to start waking up earlier. I need to start going to bed at this time. I need to start doing this. And I was around winners. And when you're around winners, you're like, okay, you feel better about yourself because small wins are better than no wins. People right. think like, oh, it was okay. But no, that win is better than not having a win for the day. So getting around people that are like-minded like you or people that are better. Because I got in a group full of men and everybody comes from all over the world, but we all wanted to be a better man. So we all helped each other in different areas or we had accountability groups. You had dudes that'll check you like, no, you wrong in this situation. And it's like, when you want to win, you have to get around winners. I give this this story, like Kevin Durant, he played for the Thunder. The Thunder going to the playoffs, they going to the playoffs, never been to the finals. He like, man, I'm going to go over here and join the Warriors. The Warriors got two championships or one championship. He goes over there, he wins because he's around winners. Now people, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go around winners? Why wouldn't you go... why would you be at a company where you can only be the manager when you can go to the company across the street and you can be the CEO at some day? Mm-hmm. Why would you stay at a certain place and you can get around winners and start winning? Because sometimes when you get around winners, people are going to say you change. You ain't change. You want something better out of life.
Right.
You don't want to stay in that situation because you can have friendships and you haven't got anywhere.
Right.
You still at the right here. Oh, that's my friend for 20 years. That's cool. That's cute. But you want to get up here. You got to lead that relationship. You got to get around somebody that's going to win. You got to get around people that don't look like you. They don't talk like you. They don't act like you. But they got the same goal as you because they are going to help you. And you got, like I said, you got, when you get around winners, unlearn the losing that you've been doing. Mm-hmm. Start doing the, what winners do. Like, if you want to be a millionaire, hey, guess what? Go on YouTube and say, what do millionaires do? Start doing it. Then you'll, a millionaire might come, hey, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. Oh, I remember when I was at that point. Hey, come along, let me help you. They're not going, don't get around people that are going to give you money. Get around people that's going to give you the knowledge to help you get the money for yourself.
Right.
Nobody can give you the fish, but you can get more when you get, when you learn how to fish.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Here you go, here goes some fish. No, I'm going to go out here. I can go fishing every day. So I can get all the fish I want anytime I want because I learned how to fish. Exactly. But if you gave me that fish, I can only eat for a couple of days.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. It's, I think with friends and everybody that you're around in terms of like, if you don't feel like you're kind of getting out of your situation, and I hear this with people that are like in, stuck in small towns and they're trying to sort of make themselves bigger, or, you know, like, I feel like I need to get out of here. Like, I don't feel like it's kind of my tribe anymore. I feel like a lot of people are stuck on like loyalty. And they feel like they're not a loyal person if they don't kind of stick around in that friend group or family. And again, like I heard you say the same thing, like people will also say to you, like, you've changed, like you're different, or like you think you're one of them, or you know what I mean? Like, but again, it's something called tall poppy syndrome. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, where people will try and knock you down. Well, basically the analogy is like, if you're kind of growing, somebody beside you is trying to cut you the same size. Kind of thing. So it's kind of like knock you down a little bit just to see, I want you to, on my level still, right? And you gotta be careful of that, because there are some like energy vampire people out there that will try and do that. And again, they're very low level energy people, relationships, and that's where you probably feel stuck with those type of people, because you're not growing, you're not changing, and they're not evolving, and they won't allow you to either. So that's a great one. Number five is don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up is like me. Like I said, like, I'm born with a disability. I don't have the muscle bone. My hand mobility is different, but I can hoop. Because I never gave up. It didn't matter if I missed 1,000 shots. I still went to the court every single day. Because when I was a kid, my goal, my dream was to go to the NBA. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the NBA. So I just wanted to be the best player I could be. And I wouldn't let rain, snow, I wouldn't let somebody talking trash to me, bullying, none of that stop me, because I had a goal as a kid to go to the NBA. When I realized that goal, I still never gave up on playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I could have gave up when I couldn't get a job. I could have been like, oh, how can I really get this check? What do I need to do? Do I need to go in here and really act like I'm disabled just to get help? Or do I continue life? I'm going to continue life because I'm betting on myself. Mm-hmm. If you let somebody else, if you bet on somebody else, how you going to win? What if they ain't got no heart? What if you bet on a player in a game and they get injured? I bet on me. If you say, hey, let's bet on the game. No, let's bet on me versus you, because I'm never going to give up. You're going to have to kill me if you're going to beat me. That's the mindset and the heart set that I have. Like, you could throw me in the jungle, I'm going to come out.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I'm going to come out. Exactly. Because I'm not going to give up. If I don't come out, then I'm dead somewhere in there. That's the only way that people have to look at it, and not to look at like dead is dying, but you gonna have to kill me to beat me. Right. That's how you have to look at life. Life, you gonna have to kill me to beat me. You can't bully me no more. You're not gonna stop me no more. I'm gonna go through a wall for myself. And then as parents, you gotta not give up, because guess what? Guess who depends on you? Your child, your children. They depend on you, because when you're the best version of yourself, your kids will be the best version of themselves. Because if you give up, your child gonna give up. And now that I got a son, I have a daughter too, but she's not biologically mine. But when I seen him come out, I'm like, I can't give up. This little dude depends on me. Mm-hmm. If I give up and I don't set him up for success, I'm a failure to my, that's how I'm looking at it. Like, I want to set him up for success. I want to be better than what the last generation left with me. And if I don't do that, it's because I gave up.
Exactly.
It's not gonna happen overnight. Don't think just because you ain't going to give up, it's going to happen tomorrow. It might take, I've been speaking 6 years. I ain't big yet. Like, you know, where everybody know me. It's going to come a point where that day where everybody going to be like, hey, I want Erik Jones Jr. And I know it's going to happen. I just can't give up because if I do, it be, might be tomorrow. They, hey, we need you to come to this school, and that school. And I gave up and I missed that opportunity.
Exactly. You nailed it right there. It's that you aren't a great parent. Like, you know, you're not a good parent in a sense of if you give up, you're showing your child how to give up. So that's where, you know, we believe a healthy family starts with a healthy parent. And whether that's your mindset, your, you know, physical nutrition, appearance, anything like that, if you're not looking after yourself, you're teaching this all to your kids yourself. I was going to ask you too, I was actually kind of curious, your passion in basketball, when you said you didn't want to give up, how long did it take you to actually teach yourself how to play basketball with being, like you said, with a disability?
I don't really remember like the beginning. I was trying to think of that, like, when did I really start? But I remember it was like, I think I was in first grade or kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
And I remember beating a second grader. Like, I remember that, like, remember beating them. And so I've been playing ever since, because my mom told me I always had a ball when I was a kid. So I probably started shooting it in the garbage or the laundry basket or whatever, but I just always had it in me. And there's nobody in my family that likes basketball. Well, I don't know my dad's side of the family, but there's nobody that hoops or likes basketball like me, but my son. And he's the same way. So I don't know where it comes from, but I started young. And I remember it used to be me and my homie. We were the youngest. So he'd be on one team and then I would be on one team because we had to guard each other. Then it got to a point where like, oh yeah, y'all can play. Like, we just going to pick y'all up. So it was really just going and playing with older kids and older men and stuff, like being a little kid and just like learning. It was hard because they weren't, well, I don't care that you
they weren't kind on you. No, they don't need to be.
No. And that's really what pushed me is starting early. Cause I remember hooping against older kids when I was younger. And it was just like, this is just what I do. And people really don't realize it till they get on the court. Like, oh, he really do this. And the kids nowadays, they'd be like, oh, I can beat you. Okay. When you want to play.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. So is there any other messages to our listeners, to our moms, dads today, just about your story, everything we've talked about? Is there anything that you kind of want to pass on as sort of your message to people?
Think about your kids with everything that I said. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about my son with everything that I do. Like, I have like a vision of where I want me and him to be, where I want to be, what I want to be able to do with him. Like, have a vision for your family, for your kids. If you're married, everybody had the same vision.
Don't have different visions.
Yeah, everybody's a team. Yeah. Everybody, if you have the same goal as a family, or if you have the same goal with your kids, everybody will get there. Because sometimes we give up our goals and dreams for our kids, but we need to go after them for our kids.
Yeah. I definitely believe that. That's very strong. And I love that. And thank you so much for coming onto the show and giving us your story, but more so than anything, your words of wisdom and your encouragement and empowerment to the moms and dads out there. So I love it. So how can our listeners connect with you, Erik?
On Facebook, Erik Jones Jr. I got a yellow shirt and it says LA on it because Erik Jones Jr. is a common name. On Instagram, Erik Jones Jr. Speaks. On YouTube, Underdog Talk. If you type in Underdog Talk, probably anywhere, that's how you'll get, because I have a podcast and then I'm the underdog. So that's how you can find it. And underdog is spelled UNDDAWG. So put in Underdog Talk, you'll find me.
I love that. I love the name as well, like the being an underdog. I was on your podcast too. So just underdog is like the, again, like you said, the people that sort of have struggled, but you know, we all have a story, right, to tell. So I appreciate you coming on today, and all those links will be left for everybody to be able to contact Erik. So thank you so much for coming on today, Erik.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Great conversation, just like when you were on my podcast. So thank you. And thank you to the listeners. I hope I'm able to help at least one parent on here that listens to this episode.
Wonderful. Thank you.